Thank you. Well, welcome to my talk on third topic, upstream and software distribution. So let's jump right into it. What is actually the problem we want to solve with the upstream project at FreeDesktop? The main issue is that the software we currently display on package managers and, well, these advanced tools we use for package management in Linux are displayed as packages, which sounds weird at first. It's pretty simple because a package is a technical item and it's not very discoverable for the user, for the average end user who is a non-technical person, what a package actually means. There are, at least in Debian, tons of packages which are containing development symbols, or documentation or something which a user is not directly interested in because he usually or she usually wants to display and install an application or something else which is more simple to discover for the average non-technical user. Another thing is that the applications, if they are presented as applications, are not presented well currently. This means that we have different levels of localization of the descriptions of them, that the quality of screenshots, if there are any, is quite bad because they are usually submitted by users. Some are also very good, of course, but yeah, generally it's not under the control of the application author who wants his application presented in a way he wants others to look at it. Then there are missing URLs and especially lots of differences between distributions because for each package, every distributor currently writes its own description of the contents. So on Debian, we have some descriptions. Fedora does their own. And so there's no unification in that regard and lots of duplication and efforts. Also, software centers are distribution specific. This means that on each distribution, we currently write a new software center which own problems and, well, not perfect integration into the desktop environment. So in order to fix this, we would need a common standard on how we handle applications and how we display them in order to even make an attempt to create a distribution agnostic software center. So the solution is AppStream. AppStream is an XML metadata specification of software components. And I'm not talking just of applications here. Software components means anything from a generic, any kind of software component, to firmware, which is something currently in development with a firmware update tool, which also uses AppStream, to desktop applications, which is what this talk is mainly about, to add-ons, which are extensions to existing software or other components, to codecs, to inputs methods, and even to fonts, which is also a feature which is currently in development and which GNOME already uses. Those metadata files are created by upstream projects, but distributions are still required to review them and to pack them together in order to make it possible to ship them to the user and to display them in the final software centers. However, all the work in translating the data and writing the data is done by upstream and by the people who know the application. They want to be presented in the downstream software center best. Yeah, and also the upstream specification itself is not completely self-contained. We don't want to duplicate efforts. Therefore, it extends existing metadata, for example, from desktop files. This means if you have a summary in your desktop file already, you don't need to write a second summary in your upstream metadata file. So to get a bit more concrete on this, how does it look? And it's installed into user share app data. If you want to ship it on your application, you just need to drop the XML in there. So let's get a bit more concrete. How does it look like and what does it contain, for example? First of all, and most importantly, every upstream XML file, it's kind of tricky there, contains an ID, which is in case of a desktop application, the desktop file name of this application. And this ID makes it possible to find an application on any distribution out there. This means if you have an ID, you can, if you are on any distribution, get to the package name and install it. This is especially important if you want to install an add-on to your software, which where you just need to query the ID of this add-on you want to install for your software, and then call the distribution package manager to install the package which contains this software component defined by the upstream XML. This is really nice because you then need only one code path to target all existing distributions which might ship upstream data. So yeah, and this is also used to associate the desktop file with the updater, AppStream updater. So it's important to keep this in line with a desktop file in case you're packaging an application which is a desktop application. Then we have a long description which is even translatable upstream. So the effort of translating long descriptions of software is not redone in every distribution anymore, but is translated once for every upstream project. And it contains lots of other stuff like project links to something your users might find interesting when browsing your application in a software center like Muon or Apple or GNOME software. For example, a home page, a place where you can report bugs, or an help URL where you can get to some more extensive documentation on how on the problems you might discover when working with the software. You also can define your own screenshots and multiple of them, and even with captions. So you can display your software the way you want it to be shown in that software center with your own screenshots instead of relying on some user-submitted screenshots. This is still possible, though. If you don't provide screenshots, the distributor might just ship something which was provided by users, which is what we do at Debian, for example. And there's also an option to add technical items which are provided by this component. This is useful if you want, for example, command line help. If you are searching for a binary and want to know in which application it is in, then you can then this information can be used by the system to determine which software component needs to be installed in order to provide this this technical items. This is, for example, the case with MIME types. If you need have a new file type and don't know which application you need to open it, you can query the upstream metadata and it will tell you a list of applications that are available which can handle this MIME type. Yeah. Then this is the upstream XML. Sorry, it's a really bad name there. There's also distribution XML, which is basically the component metadata described in the upstream XML fused together in one big file. This file is a XAML file on Debian because of reasons, or XML in any other distribution. That is a XAML file on Debian has mainly political reasons and reasons of specific to Debian, so you don't need to care about that much. This distribution XML file makes the data accessible for software centers and provides that component package name mapping, which is essential in order to fetch packages from the package manager, which manages that component. And what distributions also do is merging metadata from desktop files and other metadata they might find for your application into that XML, so everything is available in one file. So how does it look like as a diagram? You have this compose server at the distribution, which has this package where you, as an upstream, where your project is packaged, containing desktop files and maybe the XML metadata. What the compose server at the distributor does is to extract that metadata and construct new XML out of it, and also extract icons, which are used to display this application and cache screenshots and do lots of other stuff. This is then mirrored on the standard distribution mirror and shipped to the client, where it is transformed into a Sapien database in some cases, or it is just read directly by an upstream supporting library. Then you have your software center, which takes this information and communicates with a package manager, in this case through through PackageKit, which is a distribution independent package management abstraction layer which contains backends for, I think, almost all distributions out there. So it's really a convenient way if you want to install packages in a distro-agnostic way. And yeah, makes it possible to install and remove applications by that. And also pulls in some existing metadata in case there's, for example, no long description from the upstream file. We can still fetch the description from the package itself. There's also a feedback server planned for ratings and comments from users, but as I'm no web developer, so far the specification does not contain anything about that, so in case this will happen later, I'm happy to add something sane to the specification, of course. If you want to access upstream, there are different options for you. different libraries. What I would strongly recommend against is to implement a parser for this XML or YAML by yourself, because it can grow pretty big pretty quickly, especially because you need to support Kubuntu, Ubuntu, and Debian. You need to parse the YAML files too. So there's libAppStream, which uses the Sapien cache and can also access the XML and YAML directly in case you need it for some reason. Sapien is, of course, faster than the XML YAML implementation. There's libAppStream called Qt, which is, I think, most relevant here, which uses the Sapien cache access. And there's also, which you might run across, the libAppStream glib library, developed and mainly used at GNOME, but also by many other projects, which does direct XML and YAML parsing, and which is the third thing GNOME software is based on. This is written by Richard Hughes, while those two are maintained at FreeDesktop. So don't be afraid for the next slide, because there's a GNOME screenshot on it. This is how it looks like in GNOME software, with a long description, just to get an impression what the final result is. Multi-paragraph translated description, multiple screenshots, and there's also a way to display the add-ons you can install in a very user-friendly way, and licensing information, and of course, some technical data like categories or sources, like from which repository it came. Also, the other items I mentioned before, like input methods or codecs or even fonts, can be represented in the software center that way, even with examples for how the font might look like, which you won't get in a package manager, where you need to know what you're looking for in order to install the font. So that's it for the upstream specification. But there's a different issue this talk is also about, and that is the big field of distributing applications. I'm just looking at the time here. Traditionally, a Linux distribution is an operating system and applications. And an operating system is meant to be stable and shouldn't change much, because you don't want surprises and accidental breakage. While applications are something different, where you want the latest application, the latest and greatest and newest application shipped to your users directly without going through distribution packaging. Currently, the way is that you have an upstream write software, which is packaged by a distro packager, which at the end goes into a distribution and remains there, a stable software, and you can't tell your users if you, for example, get a bug, I fixed that in the latest release, can you please try it out, because users might need to upgrade their distribution in order to do that, or use a PPA. And all these different entities have different motivations and different things they want, and everything is sane in that way. But yeah, this whole way of having an upstream which produces software, having it packaged by a packager, having it in a distribution, is takes quite a long time and makes trying new applications much harder. A rolling release distribution is, of course, an option, but rolling releases have their own issues, like breaking sometimes, usually users want their OS stable and also be able to roll back to an older software application version in case the new one doesn't work as they want it to. So, why not use PPAs? PPAs have a large security risk, because they are installed with root permission, and especially annoying for people who are developing a distribution is that some people develop PPAs which interfere with distribution upgrades. So they mess with in the namespace of the normal distribution with the packages, and if the user wants to upgrade, for example, to a new Ubuntu release, there are plenty of things where this upgrade can fail in case some PPA contains a package which is not in line with the distribution packaging. So a solution to that is Limber, which is a software installation solution I manage, I develop, which subdivides the current Linux distribution into multiple layers, which is the operating system layer, including the kernel, Xorg and Wayland, dbus, systemd, false audio, and all that stuff you would expect in a generic desktop Linux, but not more, so not, for example, no toolkits. It's just the stable interfaces, which are not expected to change. Then there are runtimes, which are shared between applications, which contain all these toolkit libraries and different pieces one an application needs in order to run. Limber itself produces bundles which are very similar to packages, which contain said upstream metadata, dependency information, so which runtime components they need, a signature and payload, which is just the stuff you would usually ship in a package. The main difference is that those bundles are created by upstreams. So in this case, in this scenario, the Qt project would provide bundles, Limber bundles for Qt Core, Qt UI, and other stuff, and you as an upstream application developer would also create a bundle depending on those parts. So if you want a newer version, you just need to depend on a higher version of that. You can simply imagine it, if you are a Python developer, as PyPy, which is not Python specific. In order to make this work, Limber uses some new kernel features like shared subtrees and the recently added OverlayFS, and uses those features to glue the runtime and the application together and to remove duplication between layers. So if you have one copy of Qt already, which is sufficient, you will not get another one installed, and you will also not get static linkage if you don't explicitly do it, because it's not needed in this scenario. You just need to depend on a different Limber bundle with a higher version. So this whole layer is glued together by an OverlayFS mount when running the application. It will also be sandboxed in future, maybe, but this is something another project is working on. This is an illustration again. The OS is Debian. Then you have this individual components, SDL, for example, or Qt GStreamer, or whatever library your software wants. And you have the application on top of it. You're making use of those bundles. Those bundles are easily created. You just need upstream metadata and make a few changes on your build system. I will go quickly over that. I think I've said most of it already. One thing is which is in development is Limber Hub as a central place to upload your Limber bundles to. But this is because I'm not a web developer, developing slowly, so maybe you will hear of it in future. Limber produces upstream metadata, which is integrated in your software center. So your software center will display not only a software which is available in the distribution package manager, but also which is available in Limber package sources. And for the user won't know if it's from the software, or won't notice if it's from a Limber bundle or from the native distribution package manager, simply because it integrates really well into the system. So there's another solution developed by people at Red Hat and by Alexander Larsen, which I will just briefly mention because there's a talk tomorrow about it by Daniel Rotiel, who will be going into detail about it, which centers around an OS and a static runtime. So it's not composed of different parts, but it's a large piece of stuff. And this application is sandboxed. It's sandboxed. Why? Simply to protect the user's privacy and do not make it access parts of the system which are not allowed for access. This is especially important in the mobile space, of course. Those parts are OS3 repositories. I will just refer to the talk tomorrow. Well, about that. So simply because of time reasons. And XDGR parts are provided by upstreams, like in Limber, but they are built using an SDK, which is provided by larger projects like KDE or GNOME, which contains some pre-built software pieces which the application can make use of. If it wants more, it needs to statically link it or include it in its own bundle, so there's no sharing of those resources anymore. So comparing those solutions, Limber is very flexible, but it also is very susceptible to ABI breaks. In case some bundle breaks ABI, you are screwed. So this needs to be tested by upstreams themselves. They don't have the distributors doing the work for them anymore. This can be worked around, of course, by continuous integration solutions and other things to catch those problems. But yeah, it's an inherent issue of this approach. And it's also, of course, Limber does duplicate some things. It does a good job at avoiding lots of duplication, but it cannot remove it all because the distributor will always also ship its own copy of Qt, for example. And XDGR provides exactly that ABI stability. If you build something with an XDGR app SDK, you can be certain that it will work with the XDGR app runtime and will not change at all. Will just maybe receive security updates, but that's it. And so you must care if you want another dependency which is not in the SDK. You need to bundle it with your application and ensure that it stays up to date and security issue free on your own. So that's it. And are there any questions? And thank you for your attention, of course. Result of it. That KDE builds, for example, builds the framers components as bundles, and those are then used by upstream projects to build their stuff on top of them. So KDE would be responsible for building it and not have it done by the distributors.
And you think it's feasible and it will work?
Yeah, I've tried it, it works.
Okay, so what have you tried?
I tried some KDE components and it's working quite well.
But as in?
As in socially and generally, we will see. We need to try it.
Any more questions?
How would you handle dependencies between softwares? How would you handle dependencies between softwares?
Those dependencies are handled by Limber. Limber has some nice properties like conflict-free installation of software versions, so you can install multiple versions of Qt on the same system and they won't interfere. Each application, due to the kernel tricks, will just see the Qt version which it depends on and which it wants to use, and the other versions are hidden from it. So in order to handle dependencies, you will just declare a dependency on the bundle you refer, which contains, for example, Qt or whatever other component you want, and Limber will do the rest for you, in case the upstream didn't break ABI.
More questions?
So if KDE is using Limber to ship the application, it also has to care about all the Qt bugs. Actually, ship new Limber files for Qt.
Yes, in case Qt doesn't ship fixed versions on its own, you would need to do that, and maybe namespace those Qt copies in order to distinguish them from the upstream components. That's also feasible.
Steam
is doing, and to some extent it's a duplication of work by the distro packagers, but I'm careful to say that because as a distro packager you need to care for a lot more things like upgrade paths and how everything interacts in the system, which you don't need to do with Limber. You just need to ensure that your application works. And also Limber is not designed to install things like core system parts like the kernel or systemd, which it simply can't do because of technical limitations. It's just designed for applications and toolkits and libraries and not for system parts. So, but to some extent, it's a duplication, but it's not the same.
Why don't packagers how to create the bundles themselves, starting from the existing packages? I mean, it could be just a small addition to the work they are already doing.
That would be possible. I think in the end, for example, in case this takes off, distributors will ship their own Limber repositories enabled by default, which they have control over to some extent. So they can ship on their stable base, for example, updated copies of Kate or whatever, or Gwenview or DigiCam or whatever application they want to be want to have updated, without interfering with the usual process of upgrading packages in the distribution.
I would say mostly that these bundles or application bundles, they are not necessarily compilation packages, but they could be seen as complement with distribution packages provide you stable set that is tested by the distribution and that kind of works together. But these bundles allow people to get the latest upstream products, test them without actually breaking the rest of the distribution.
Yeah.
So that's possible use case.
Exactly, that's the point of it. Thank you.
Any more question? Okay, that's all. Thank you.